Behind the Bite podcast is part of a network of podcasts that are good for the world. Check out podcasts like the Full of Shit podcast, After the First Marriage podcast, and Eating Recovery Academy over at practiceofthepractice.com/network. Welcome to Behind the Bite podcast. This podcast is about the real life struggles women face with food, body image, and weight. We're here to help heal, inspire, and create better, healthier lives. Welcome. Welcome to Behind the Bite podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Christina Castagnini. While I'm an eating disorder specialist, I also have my master's degree in clinical psychology and marriage and family therapy. So for years before I earned my specialization, I was also seeing lots of couples and families in my practice. And I still do. In fact, many of the people I see who are struggling with an eating disorder or with body image issues are also struggling with relationship issues. Unfortunately, an eating disorder tends to have an effect on every aspect of someone's life. So it's often part of treatment, at least at some point, to also address someone's relationship struggles and concerns, which is why I think it is so relevant to have a discussion about just this topic. I am nothing short of thrilled to have with me here today someone who will do just that. Veronica Cisneros is a licensed marriage and family therapist, mother of three, married for 21 years, course creator, and host of her own podcast. Through personal experience, she has defeated life's challenges by leaning into fear unapologetically. She's taught hundreds of women how to reclaim their identity and reignite their marriage by cutting through communication barriers. Well, welcome, Veronica. I'm so happy to have you here.
I'm super happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me on.
So you have a podcast yourself, and it's Empowered and Unapologetic, which I was actually thrilled to be on recently. And so I'm really even more excited that you're on now to talk about things that I know a lot of my listeners can relate to. And so you actually have a program coming out currently, and or actually soon, right? And yeah. I'm hoping you could talk to us a little bit about that, because it's going to lead right into something really exciting and really relatable to a lot of the listeners. So could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the course is called Reignite Your Marriage by Reclaiming Your Identity. And it's focused on cutting through communication barriers. A lot of my audience, a lot of women in general, struggle with communicating, asserting themselves, and setting healthy boundaries. And it's not necessarily for a lack of trying. It's just most of us haven't been taught how to set healthy boundaries or even what asserting yourself looks like. So what I've noticed is it's more lack of skill than anything else. And I've been married for 21 going on 22 years. And I myself struggled with that as well. It was really hard for me to communicate with my husband because, for one, he didn't necessarily express emotions. Being a Marine is kind of like, I think it's part of the detail. Mm. You know, he didn't necessarily express emotions, and he would bottle emotions up. So whenever we would get into conflict, I would be left like feeling completely unheard, and he would go about his day like nothing happened. So it's like, wait a minute, I felt like I was going crazy. And what I realized was, okay, wait a minute, there's a lack of communication, and it's going to start with me. And it was going to start with me because I didn't want our relationship to suffer because we weren't able to communicate and we weren't able to be vulnerable. And so yeah, that was basically the highlight.
You know, I think that's so interesting. I've often said, I wish, you know, in school we could taught so many things, you know, geometry and history and all these things that I know I don't use on a daily basis anymore. But it'd be so great if we were taught these basic skills like how to communicate well and about healthy relationships. And somewhere along the way, they just didn't teach us those things. And I think the assumption is, oh, you get taught those things at home, or your parents teach you, or you view it from people around you. But I don't think that's the case. I think we just don't see it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I used to work at a hospital setting, a partial hospitalization program, and I would teach, you know, coping skills, how to regulate your emotions, how to tolerate distress, how to communicate effectively. And I kid you not, after every single session, people would come up to me and say, why don't they teach this in high schools? Mm-hmm. You know, my marriage failed because we lacked communication. And the love was there, but whenever we would get into arguments, they would become so explosive. And, you know, I've had people say, you know, if my parents would have taught me how to regulate my emotions, I wouldn't have felt like I was going crazy or like there was something wrong with me. And so I kept a lot of that in. And mm-hmm. I also had patients that also, you know, struggled with eating disorders. And it's just that feeling of discomfort and not knowing what to do with those emotions or even how to communicate them, you know, or how to communicate what was going on, you know, from in most of their minds. And being able to have that tool, it's so important. And I agree, it isn't shown. And unfortunately, most parents don't even know how to assert themselves, don't even know how to set boundaries themselves because they as well have not been taught. So yeah, it is very much necessary, very, very much necessary in all school programs.
You know, and I know you have some experience working with people who've had eating disorders, but if we just get back to marriage for a second, I don't know if you've ever read much of John Gottman's work, but he talks a lot about how he can predict which couples in 5 years are going to be happily married or not, based on conflict resolution, which is based on communication. And so it's so important just to look at like how we even resolve conflict. It's, you know, some people just are volatile and need to get it out and then they're done. Some people hold it in and, you know, just learning how you yourself resolve conflict and your own communication style. I don't think people even know that so much and then know how their partner does that and how that interaction has such an impact. And just learning, hey, you know what? This is how we resolve conflict. Maybe we can learn how to resolve that better and then move forward and have such a better relationship.
Absolutely. And there are some steps. There are definitely steps that, like we said, you know, we haven't been taught, but there are definitely steps that we can utilize to help us communicate effectively. The biggest one, the first step that I teach is perception. Perception is key. Mm-hmm. You know, being able to understand that your husband isn't necessarily the enemy, right? Your partner's not the enemy. It's the circumstance or it's the lack of skill. That's the enemy. And so whenever we're able to kind of step outside and look at it, taking emotions away and look at it from an observer's point of view, then we're able to realize, wait a minute, this isn't a personal attack. You know, it's not like we're at war with each other, nor should we be. This is more of how is the message that's being relayed to me? What is my perception of it? And is that even true? Mm-hmm. You know, is he against me? You know, I've had a lot of women tell me, you know, whenever we get in an argument, I feel like my husband doesn't support me. He doesn't love me. All he wants to do is see me fail. And we work on challenging that thought, you know, is it 100% true? You know, and when you're able to go ahead and shift that perception, you're able to see your husband for who he is and who he's not. And it's really, really important we're able to go ahead and see that because now he no longer poses a threat. Mm-hmm. We can connect with him and we can get through hard things together without allowing emotions to overwhelm us, which brings us to that second step, right? Owning your emotions. You talk, you know, right now you shared, you know, when we're in conflict, some of us blow up or some of us will go into straight withdrawing and isolating, right? I was a blow up. I hate to admit that, but I'd be the one that totally blew up. And the reason why we are in either extreme is because we don't know what to do with all of these emotions. Being able to own your emotions and realizing that these emotions are so big, rightfully so. You feel very passionate about whatever conversation you're having. However, the emotion can't be the indicator or, you know, the guide to where the conversation goes. The emotion is more of being able to recognize you feel very passionate about the discussion. Okay, so what do we do with those emotions so that they don't take over? And I teach how to sit in those emotions versus allowing them to control you, because I feel like whenever we're in conversations, those emotions can get the better of us. And most of the time we might say or do something that we regret. It's harder to apologize, you know, than it is to go ahead and say, wait a minute, can I do a do-over? Because what I said, I didn't mean, you're able to go ahead and establish that connection and trust a lot quicker instead of going into maybe cursing them out or withdrawing altogether and running away, never resolving the issue at all.
I think that's such a difficult skill. And, you know, I know for many listeners right now, maybe listening to this thing, wow, when I get overwhelmed with emotions, I would love to figure out how to sit with that and learn how to tolerate it. And because I think a lot of people who struggle with food is they cope with food or want to escape when they're eating disorder behaviors, and they don't know how. I call it emotion mind, right? They sit in with emotion mind, they get overwhelmed and say, I don't know what to do. And that is a lot of what the eating disorder is about, is, okay, I'm going to go binge, or I'm going to go restrict so I don't feel anything, or I'm going to go binge and purge, or I'm going to go over exercise. I'm going to go do whatever I've been doing to just not deal with this. And that can have an impact on relationships, because if someone is so involved in their eating disorder, they cannot possibly connect with another person. They can't connect with their partner.
Well, because they have a hard time connecting with themselves.
Right.
You know, and so what we try to do is we try to change somebody else so they fit our needs. You know, they fit how we want to feel. And being able to sit in the emotion, it is extremely difficult, especially if we haven't been taught. And so we want to run from the emotion altogether. However, if we can, you know, a lot of times when I'm working with my private practice clients, or even the clients that I'm coaching, what I focus on is helping them become familiar with emotions. Most of us have been taught happy, sad, angry, right? We've been taught very little about emotions. You know, I'm happy, or I'm sad, or I'm mad, right? But we go into, well, let's talk about resentment. Let's talk about envy. Let's talk about feeling completely overwhelmed, defeated. Like, let's go there and let's explore those emotions and help them really identify what is triggering the emotion. So we'll focus on identifying the emotion, and I'll give them, like, you know, this circle wheel of emotions. I'm sure as a clinician, you've seen that. But I'll give them that emotion wheel and help them truly identify what is going on for you. So it'll be like, let's say they initially feel mad. Well, in that wheel of emotions, it goes into, you know, detail as to what other emotions coincide with that particular mad emotion. Mm-hmm. And it really helps them break down, wait a minute, it's not necessarily that I'm mad. I'm actually really hurt and I feel betrayed. And then that dialogue starts to happen, and they start to validate their own emotions by being able to identify them. Like, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling resentful. I'm feeling defeated. And that's all right. And then we go into, okay, well, what is it like? So what is your physiological response? How does your body respond to feeling defeated? And they'll go into what feels like this stabbing pain in my chest. Okay, tell me more. And we go into really helping them identify how the emotion triggers this physiological response, and helping them gain this level of confidence. I can trust that I can sit in this emotion and come out of it. I don't have to run from it, because it's a temporary experience. What lasts a lot longer is when we try to act out in rage, or we run and isolate or withdraw altogether. Mm-hmm. That lasts so much longer, and it's met with so much more resentment. However, if I can sit in the emotion, And this requires practice, but if I can sit in the emotion and really identify what it does, like what my physiological response is, then I'm now more aware and more familiar with what happens when I'm triggered. And then lastly, we go into thoughts. What are the thoughts that come up for you? You know, and really helping them identify what their thoughts are, because this is another place a lot of us lack in skill. Most of us don't know what we're thinking. I can't tell you how many times I've asked women to really break it down. Okay, so my husband's mad at me. Awesome. All right, so let's go there. Where is that taking you? What is the story that's building in your head? The minute I go into story, or even what is the message you received, that's when their thoughts start to come out. And they're really able to identify, whoa, I'm going into like catastrophizing and I'm going into fortune telling, or I'm even minimizing my own emotion. And that's why I'm going into withdrawal. But they're able to go out and see how their emotions, their physical response, and their actions are taking over and determining what the outcome looks like. And the what the outcome usually looks like is it's an argument that carries over for weeks, if not months. Or how many times, ladies, have you had an argument, totally forgot about it, didn't forget about it, but pretended like you forgot about it, and then you used it as ammo like a year later or 5 years later, right? And it's all because we don't want to sit in that emotion. We don't know how. So by helping them break it down, it provides them with the space of truly understanding the emotion, no longer running from it or utilizing some unhealthy coping skill to escape or avoid.
But I think it's everything you're saying is so important. And I'm wondering too, do you find that women struggle with even having permission?
Oh gosh.
Voice what they're feeling or voice what they're thinking. Just because I think that's a lot of it too, is just being like, no, I can't rock the boat, or I don't have permission to express how I'm feeling, or I have to, a lot of people are people pleasers, or I have to please everybody. So I just have to be quiet and not say anything.
Yeah, no, of course that happens often. You know, if we look at history, you know, society has taught us that women are to stay quiet. You know, we're to be meek, we're to be small, we're to be the cute ones, the little ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely are we, I don't want to say allowed, because we're allowed to say whatever we want, whenever we want, but very rarely do we feel like we're given permission to speak up. And it's not until recently that women have really, really strengthened their voice, a voice that they've always had.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we go into being married, you know, it's, I don't want to poke the bear. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. I don't want to poke the bear. Mm-hmm. And I would rather do whatever needs to get done around the house, do all the household chores, tend to all of the kids, mm-hmm. instead of give it to my husband. Because if I give it to my husband, he doesn't have as much patience as I do. And what's going to end up happening is he's going to yell at the kids. He's going to get so frustrated, and then he's going to shut down. So to avoid that, I'll just take it over. I'm not going to say anything at all. And at no time are they asserting themselves. If anything, they're taking this passive approach just to avoid conflict. But what they don't realize is you're now creating this pattern for your family. And your kids are watching. Your kids are watching. Oh, okay. This is how a woman behaves in a household. And this is how the man behaves in a household. And so this is just the way I'm supposed to, you know, I'm supposed to behave in how, what a marriage is supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that is that only feeds that dysfunctional pattern. But if women were able to go ahead and truly express what's going on for them, I'm feeling overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And I really need you to take the kids right now. Sure, he might lose his patience. Absolutely. And you got to remember, you guys are both on the same team. You guys both want the same thing. Otherwise, you wouldn't be married to him. And let's just be honest, right? Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be married to him. So his intentions are also to go ahead and love his children. His intentions are also to provide the safe environment. It's going to look a little different than you. However, if you don't want to be chained to all of the tasks, well, then change needs to happen. Communication needs to happen. And that true, the minute women start adopting that, their voice becomes louder and stronger. And they do start to give themselves permission to say what they need to say in a healthy way versus going into these dysfunctional patterns and just waiting for them to blow up, because that goes nowhere.
I think you're touching on something interesting, which is being able to identify faulty belief systems, right? If you grew up in a household, yes. Watching this is, well, maybe even believing I have to do all the housework. I have to do this. I have to do that. And maybe challenging that. And then being able to take that next step of setting healthy boundaries and maybe not even knowing what those are. What are healthy boundaries? Like, and then asserting those, like saying what you need. That's scary for some people.
Absolutely. So being able to understand what does asserting even look like? So when you assert yourself, you're basically communicating to people how you want them to behave around you, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're telling them what's okay and what's not okay. I'm sorry, that's a boundary. Boundary is telling people how to behave around you. When you assert yourself, you're telling people what you want and what you need. You're literally communicating what you want and what you need. You're not compromising yourself, nor are you compromising others. And so when you assert yourself, you're basically stating your needs. What do you want? Mm-hmm. And most of us don't know what we want, hence the reason why we don't assert ourselves. So really paying attention to what is it exactly that I want. And, you know, for me in my marriage, I've been married for 21, going on 22 years. And when my husband retired from the Marine Corps, I just graduated from grad school and I was starting my own private practice. And it was a huge shift because my husband was transitioning from the Marine Corps, looking for employment. He had just received his master's. So there was so much transition and he was always the primary breadwinner. So when I started my private practice and took off, there was a huge transition and there was a whole bunch of unfamiliarity and uncertainty. Mm. And it's almost as if we both had to grieve a loss, you know, and the loss for me was I was no longer, you know, I don't want to say at the mercy of him, but I was no longer the one that, I was no longer the one that wasn't employed. Mm. And I was now bringing in a good amount of cash flow. That was a big transition for me. And I didn't know how to, adjust to that because it was weird. All of this, you know, I had a great amount of clients and, you know, I started receiving a whole bunch of referrals, which meant cash flow was starting to increase. And so, and my husband, there was a whole bunch of insecurities on his end. Like, wait a minute. I was a primary breadwinner. Now our roles are starting to change. Mm-hmm. And there was a point where he had said to me, Veronica, you don't need me. And in his mind, he thought, I don't need him because now I'm making my own money. So what good is he to me? And so it was that, in that moment that I realized I really do need to communicate my needs to him. And I had mentioned to him, you know, I've always wanted to be with you. I've never stayed with you because I needed you. Mm. And this is a huge transition for me. And so I need support. And this is what support looks like. You know, I knew I had to go ahead and build up my confidence. I knew I had to build up, you know, anything I had insecurities around. But it was really me communicating and saying it out loud to help him understand what this transition meant to me. And this crazy thing happened. My husband started communicating his needs. Hmm. And he just started opening up. And it was primarily because I allowed myself to be vulnerable. I put that guard down. There were boundaries. And the boundaries for me was, you know, I didn't want it to be thrown in my face. I didn't want it to be thrown in my face. So when we did have conversations, it was really important that I set that boundary. And that, you know, an example of the boundary was when we do talk about money, it's our money. It's not my money. And I understand that this is a big transition for you, just as it is for me. Moving forward, though, this is what I'd like it to look like. And it allowed him to go ahead and create this space where he was also able to set a boundary with me on what he wanted and how I behaved and whatnot. Again, at no time are we trying to change each other. It's just that these are the ways that I want to be treated. And it provides, you know, your partner with these tips on what's okay and what's not okay. And you guys get to negotiate around that. But it just, I find that strengthens the relationship. And most of us are afraid to do that because we don't know how they'll react.
That's such a good point because when I say the word assertive to people, I think they do get confused what that means.
Yes.
They think assertive means demanding or aggressive, mm-hmm. or they're being selfish, right?
Yeah.
And that is something I think needs to be cleared up because passive is like not saying anything and maybe doing behaviors that are kind of sneaky or like slamming doors or, you know, like going to bed early or like not having sex with somebody or just, you know, doing lots of things to kind of communicate, like I'm angry and like, I wish you'd understand something. Right. And aggressive on the other hand is like yelling and like, you know, finally getting so much pent up frustration or whatever it is, just getting blowing and going, you don't do this. And lots of you statements and finally everything just comes out. And then yes, that can feel very aggressive and scary. Right. But I think that's what happens over time. It's like, I'm not getting it. And then that's why it gets scary. It's like, then people feel selfish and like scared to express what they're feeling.
Yeah.
But assertive is so different. It's respectful of the other person. It's respectful of yourself. It's saying, hey, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I like. This is what I need. Like, what do you think?
Yep.
It's kind of putting it out there. It's not demanding. It's not being selfish. It's not any of those things. And no. I think people are really confused about what that is. And so they don't say anything.
Yeah. So the myth with being assertive is if I'm assertive, then I'm aggressive. And like you just said, it's far from the truth. Assertive is where you are not compromising your needs, nor are you enforcing your needs on somebody else, right? You're respecting your needs and you're respecting somebody else's needs. When you're aggressive, that's when your needs trump everybody else's and you compromise their needs to meet your needs, right? And so, I mean, if we look at it this way, when you were a baby, you were literally born assertive. You cried when you needed food, or you cried when you needed your diaper changed. It wasn't until you got older that you started to lose those assertiveness skills. You stopped asking for what you wanted because you were probably met with some form of invalidation. Mm-hmm. Mom, I'm hungry. No, you're not hungry. You just ate 5 minutes ago. That's invalidating, you know, or, you know, when you fell off of your bike and you were met with, oh, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. Get up. You're fine. Mm-hmm. You're being told that your feelings are invalid and you're being taught that I need somebody else to tell me how I feel. And so growing up, we then start to ask people, okay, so, you know, I lost my boyfriend. Is it okay if I'm still like angry about it or sad about it? Because I am, but I mean, what do you think? Is it okay? That's when we start asking other people versus us owning it. And so this is why, you know, I stressed so much earlier with emotions and being able to own your emotions. When you're able to own your emotions, you're able to self-validate and say, wait a minute, I am feeling defeated. I am feeling overwhelmed. And that's okay. Which then leads you to be able to assert yourself with, okay, so what is it exactly that I want? And most of us have been taught that, you know, we should make sure that we please and appease others, but that just puts us in a really bad trap. If we're able to identify what we want and express that, it's not being selfish. It's not being selfish at all. It's truly owning who you are so that you can give your best version of yourself, your authentic version, to other people, and they will be definitely receptive of it versus being in a friendship that's a complete lie because you've been trying to please and appease this person and taking that passive approach.
I really hope the people pleasers out there can hear this.
Right.
Truly. Right. Because there's that belief of if I put everyone else's needs first and put mine last, then everyone will like me. Right. And just stuffing away their own desires. And I get the sense too, from what you just said, people probably grew up getting shamed for expressing what they needed, or just like you said, you know, oh, I'm still hurting, and got shamed. Oh, shush, you know, be quiet. You don't feel that way. Or, you know, probably got really put down for that, or criticized, even ridiculed for expressing how they felt, like it wasn't okay. So they learned like, okay, how I'm feeling's not okay, or I'm going to get, you know, criticized or put down. So they learned to just not trust themselves.
Yep.
It was upsetting to other people if they cried or were upset. Oh gosh, you're a downer, or you're always upset, or you're always crying. I'm sure people got all sorts of really horrible negative messages.
Absolutely. I remember growing up, I was really, really hyper and like, you know, wanting to do all of these things and had all of these goals. And I can't tell you how many times I was told, Veronica, calm down. Like, just shh. Just be quiet. Mm-hmm. Just stay quiet. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay. I'm just going to stay quiet. And then when I was quiet, it was like, okay, what's wrong with you? I was like, oh,
what's the next message? You can't win, could you?
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, very confusing, but it's great that you have this program where people can start to really learn all of these things, or really even learn for themselves for the first time what they're feeling or what they're thinking or how their behaviors are impacting them and their relationship and move on to a healthier space. That's fantastic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Too many women were coming into my private practice saying the same thing, you know, and I would ask them, well, who are you? Who are you outside of being a mom? Who are you outside of being a wife? I kid you not, every single time I would ask that question, I would be met with tears and this look of defeat, you know, and they would say, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've been everything my husband needs me to be. I've been everything my kids need me to be, but I don't know where I fit in. And, you know, I would provide them with resources, women's groups or, you know, books. And it wasn't working. And so what I realized was, okay, well, as a therapist, I can help, you know, maybe not at, you know, I can help women before they need therapy, you know, and probably some form of preventative therapy. And right now with our divorce rate is so high. It is so, so high. Why not be able to help them? You know, and so that's why I developed Empowered and Unapologetic as a platform to truly help women right now. You know, versus waiting until they develop severe depression, anxiety, or passive suicidal thoughts. You know, I can't tell you how many moms have said, you know what, I've had the thought where if I didn't wake up tomorrow, it would be okay. And it's like, whoa, like, why did we wait this long? You know, and she waited that long because she didn't know there was any other way. So Empowered and Unapologetic is definitely a different route, a healthier route, to help them reclaim their identity. So they're not stuck. They're not stuck in this mode of, I have to stay silent, you know, or I have to be something, you know, for somebody else. Because what I've learned is resentment kills relationships. And the only reason resentment exists is because we don't have the communication skills. We don't have that level of confidence and trust in ourselves that we'll be able to come out of maybe a iffy situation or some form of conflict. And so we stay quiet. Well, no, it's just a lack of skill. And if we can teach that, then we can build healthier, stronger relationships, stronger marriages, and this stronger sense of self-worth.
Fantastic. Well, I'm sure some people listening might want to find you, maybe even want to join your program that's coming up. So how can people find you?
Absolutely. So on Instagram, Empowered and Unapologetic, as well as for Facebook. And then for the course, it's empoweredandunapologetic.com/enroll if you want to be on the wait list. And I also have a freebie for your guests. It is a guide, 5 mistakes to an unhealthy relationship, or 5 mistakes to avoid, 5 mistakes to avoid for an unhealthy relationship. And you can get that at empoweredandunapologetic.com/guide.
Awesome. And I will also have all that information as well as the freebie on the show notes. So you can go there to my website and also get that there. So thank you so much for all that great information.
Absolutely.
Well, Veronica, it has been such a pleasure. I always enjoy talking to you, and you are a wealth of fantastic information. So thank you so, so much. I'm sure we'll be talking again. So
of course, thank you.
All right, great. Thank you again.
This podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regards to the subject matter covered. It is given with the understanding that neither the host, the publisher, or the guest are rendering legal, accounting, clinical, or any other professional information. If you want a professional, you should find one.